This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, January 28, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Author and attorney Chase Madam is with us today to talk about his book, The Passion of Bradley Manning, coming out later in March, I believe. We'll also be looking at immigration reform and how somehow the most unlikely issue seems to have finally brought to both sides of the aisle together. We'll have to wait and see how that pans out. In Mali, French military intervention may be responsible for the deaths of 16 villagers in the north. And first, the weather. Rain for today, highs to 44, southwest wind 7 to 11 miles per hour. For tonight, more rain. This seems to be a pattern of rainy weather, 40s, and medium winds. Tonight's low is around 40. We've got a west-southwest wind 13 to 15 miles per hour. For tomorrow, rain continuing throughout the night into the day, highs near 45, winds around 14 miles per hour. For tomorrow night, it continues. We've got a low of around 42, and that same wind around 11 to 13. Same pattern looks like it's going to persist for most of the week. The alternative side of the weather bench, we've got a leaf moon in Cancer, 16 days old, still rather full. Synodic forecast has the best. It's a good time for planting practically anything that you are able to. If you missed the so-called November deadline on garlic and onions, there's still time, and onion sets are always a good idea. Synodic forecast recommends planting pretty much anything right now. The biodynamic people, Moon in Cancer, it's a water sign, and they advise leaf plants. Fruits harvested now should be eaten straight away. What fruits, for example? Well, you might still have some medlars out there. Go take a look. The sidereal forecast moon in Leo, dry and barren. Good time for garden maintenance. But then, when isn't it a good time for garden maintenance? Moving straight into a few news briefs before we speak with Chase Madar, our guest today. Joint Base Lewis McChord has been the scene of any number of extremely unfortunate events. Soldiers from that base have been notorious for going out and creating mayhem in the civilian world. I almost said civilized world. They've got a new headquarters now for what they call Warrior Transition Battalion. You know, maybe that's a bad choice of words, but I suppose that Joint Base Lewis McChordians know more about that than I would. And nonetheless, they've opened this so-called transition center on the base. They poured $18 million into a building. Theoretically, there will be medical appointments closer to home for many of the soldiers. No word said about suicides, although we know that the suicide amongst the military has reached epidemic proportions. And it's a sad comment. Base is doing what it can, and I suppose too that it's not something that the military wants to talk about. But then, what else can we expect? We also have a couple of things from around the country. These are symptoms of a truly ailing culture, an ailing society. Once again, we've got 16 people in 5 states which have been made ill, poisoned by salmonella that was linked to ground beef. Ground beef, as many people know, the sort that comes on the shelves in Safeway, could be from any number of different animals, and who knows what scraped up off the floor of the slaughterhouse. All of it packed, ground up, packed together, and sold to unsuspecting consumers who by this time should be plenty well suspecting. It also appears that we are the country that's not able somehow to, despite many, many decades of practice, safely remove oil from one place and take it to another place. This time we have the spectacle of a huge oil spill in the Mississippi River has been clouded by a desperate PR campaign to cover up the seriousness of this most recent spill. And the story probably at the top of the fold all over the country. Senators are able to reach a deal on immigration by incorporating the Democrats' insistence on a single comprehensive bill that would not deny eventual citizenship to immigrants, with Republicans' demands that strong borders and interior enforcement be written in. The blueprint came out today, and it will allow lawmakers to figure out exactly where they stand. A lot of Republicans who would like to sign on can't because their constituents are hardcore right-wing ideologues who want none of it. We're going to go now to speak with Chase Murdoch. Chase has a book on, he's an attorney and author. His book is The Passion of Bradley Manning, and I'm very pleased to welcome Chase Murdoch to the KBOO Airwaves. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, and good morning, Chris. It's great to be talking with you here about The Passion of Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning, for your listeners who don't know, is the 25-year-old WikiLeaks whistleblower, or the accused source of all those great WikiLeaks about the war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and how our State Department operates overseas.
So the book, how have you approached organizing what's got to be an enormous amount of material by this time, and what prompted you to devote years to this project?
Well, I was prompted the old-fashioned way. An editor put me on the scent, Tom Engelhart of TomDispatch.com, which I recommend to everyone. And I stayed with it and wrote a book about it because there are so many big, important issues that collide in this case. The competing risks of government secrecy versus leaks, the power and the impotence of information, what the laws of war forbid, and more shockingly, what they permit, and the use of solitary confinement. Is that an exception or is it the rule in our penal system? So my book is it's less an individual portrait of Bradley Manning, although I do tell his life story in the longest chapter. It's more of a landscape panorama with all the big issues that collide in this case sketched in.
And one of the things that I wondered about is it seems that Bradley Manning might very well be destined for one of these communication management units where prisoners report being forcibly drugged, silenced, not able to speak with their attorneys or their families. These have been, are essentially places where America's political prisoners are often held. Lynn Stewart is there in one, despite the fact that she is has a very serious type of cancer and is not allowed to see doctors. What are you able, from your work on the book, to project at all, and to what a likely outcome is? Have you spoken with David Coombs, his attorney, and any idea?
You know, I have not been able to speak with David Coombs. He has not been speaking with the media, aside for just releasing communiques on his blog. I think the lawyer, David Coombs, is doing an excellent job. I do think, all that said, though, that that Bradley Manning is headed for a conviction and a sentence of at least 50, that's 50 years. And that's in spite of the best efforts by a very able lawyer. But it just shows up how diseased our legal system is here, and how our legal system is designed to encourage maximum secrecy and to punish severely those who break those rules. At least the privates, the generals, the ambassadors, and the high officials leak with impunity all the time. Not entirely a bad thing, because that's how we know important things about what our government is doing in the world. But when a private tries leaking, as Bradley Manning did, then all hell comes down on him. What? I think the struggle to get justice for Bradley Manning is going to be a very long-term struggle, just like the struggle to free Leonard Peltier or Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yeah, it would seem that way. We also have, just recently, John Kiriakou is going to be serving a ridiculously lengthy sentence for what essentially should have been protected under whistleblower laws, which, of course, the administration loudly touted as, this brave new world for whistleblowers, where their rights were protected. And so Kiriakou is going to be doing some serious time. Is it even possible? It seems extraordinary that this hasn't already been dismissed or thrown out. The prosecution, the government seems to have bungled everything, every step of the way. David Coombs is doing an excellent job. There are a great many legal reasons. There's a great deal of precedent that would certainly mandate that the whole thing be tossed out. From the President of the United States suggested that Bradley Manning was extremely guilty, to his detention in what amounted to Darwin torture. It's extraordinary. It's still, I've talked to lots of people on a regular basis, and I still am not able to reconcile that.
Mm-hmm. I would love to say that this whole case is an example of someone being railroaded and that the legal system is being abused to single him out. I don't think that's entirely true. I think that the problem isn't abuse of the system, but the system itself here. And our whole legal system is geared, and there's all kinds of political pressure to make it this way, for us to be more afraid of leaks and whistleblowers than the real problem. And the real problem that we have in this country is extreme government secrecy. Last year, for instance, Washington classified 92 million documents. What Bradley Manning is alleged to have released is not even 1% of that. Back to John Kiriakou, here we have someone who blew the whistle in a small way on government torture during our war on terror. And instead of the torturers being convicted and detained or even investigated, you have the whistleblower being sent to prison for 30 months. So we clearly have our priorities backwards when it comes to whistleblowing and when it comes to the real problem of extreme government secrecy.
Chase, thank you so much for that. We're out of time for now. We'd like to have you back in the near future for a longer interview and take questions from listeners. For now, though, we've been speaking with Chase Maddie. He's an author and attorney. The book is The Passion of Bradley Manning. I believe it's out in March, is it?
That's right. A second edition comes out in March from Verso Press.
Thank you so much for that. So, this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, January 28, 2013. Carlos Chavez engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. This KABU program is made possible.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Burns, senior host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. In recent years, U.S. carbon dioxide emissions have actually decreased, largely because we've begun to wean ourselves off of coal as a result of tighter emissions regulations. But the American coal industry's response hasn't been to shift to less environmentally devastating business practices. Instead, they're planning to ship coal across the Pacific to Asia. Coal mined in the Powder River Basin of Montana and Wyoming will be carried across the Pacific Northwest in coal trains more than a mile long, shedding toxic dust as they pass on their way to six new export terminals proposed in Oregon and Washington. This morning, we talk with two active opponents of the coal trains, Bethany Cotton with Greenpeace and the Power Pass Coal Coalition, and Merrily Day, a healthcare practitioner and organic urban farmer here in Portland. They'll tell us why they are opposing the coal trains and what you can do to prevent our region from being complicit in exporting the coal we no longer burn here to the rest of the world. Bethany and Merrily, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Barbara.
Well, Merrily, as we were just coming into the studio, you handed me this bag of soot. So tell me, what is in this bag that you gave me, and why is it relevant